Episode 9.
I realize that this is a business, and you know, Bill Gates can make $300 billion a year. I should be able to make, you know, $500,000.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. Okay, Aftermarket Tribe, I'm simply thrilled to introduce my guest today, Doug Whiteman from George's Sierra Shell in Fontana, California. Doug, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Yes, very much. I'm very excited to do this with you, Carm.
Hi, Aftermarket Tribe. Carm Capriato here. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the podcast on our website at remarkableresults.biz. Did you know that you can listen to all our episodes right from our website or download for later listening? You can also subscribe via iTunes or Stitcher Radio, which has a great app for Android. Let's get right to the episode. Doug Whiteman, owner of George's Sierra Shell from Fontana, California, a successful 42-year-old business that's been awarded so many recognitions we would need 5 minutes to list them all. Here are the highlights. Motor Age's Top Shop in 2014. Yes, I said Top Shop. Doug was also recognized Top 12 Shop and Humanitarian Award winner from ATI, the Kokui Humanitarian of the Year recipient. He was also honored by the Fontana Chamber of Commerce for receiving the Small Business of the Year Award, recognized by Susan Komen during the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, named ASE Technician of the Year in 2008, and there are more, so please see the show notes on the website, in iTunes or Stitcher Radio, for all the recognitions. As the Motor Age Top Shop in 2014, I did an in-depth interview with Doug, and we are presenting it in two parts. Part 1 is in Episode 9, you're on it now, and Part 2 is in Episode 10. Listen and learn about Doug's female-centric service position that he consults for ATI, what key lessons he learned from his dad, why he continues to have a weekly call with his business coach, what he learned by getting his oil changed at the car dealer, what the fan of the week is, and what happened to change his business 10 years ago. He has his own training room, a call center with a special customer-focused strategy, and he discusses his expansion plans for 2015. Yes, so much to learn from Doug Whiteman. So enjoy and listen to learn just one thing. Here we go. Hey, thanks so much for being on. You're in sunny California, where they have no water, I hear.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, my, I'm sure you'll just legislate it to rain.
Yeah, we're trying.
Okay. Well, hey, great, Doug. Give us a snapshot about your great business. I've already given our listeners a short overview of many of your great accomplishments. Can you tell us the backstory of your business, how many years you've been in business, the number of bays, techs, and how you started 42 years ago? I know it was your dad's business, and also the size and feel of Fontana, California.
Well, my dad did buy it in 1972. It was 42 years ago, as you said. When he bought it, it was a two-bay Shell gas station. Fontana was about 12,000 people at that time. In 1995, my father passed away. In 96, we tore it down and rebuilt a new gas station. We now have three bays. There's two techs and two apprentices. I have two female service writers that run the entire shop there. I started here when I was 9, just working and cleaning up. Over the years, when I got out of high school, I went to a trade school in Phoenix, came back, worked with my father till he passed away, and then I ran it for several years after that up till now. The size of Fontana now is just over 200,000 people, I believe 212,000. It's about 62% Hispanic. We're in the downtown part of Fontana, the older part. It's where I grew up, and it's where I want to be.
Is that going to be a suburb of L.A.?
Yes, it is a suburb of L.A. Well, we're about 60 miles out of L.A. If you're familiar with California at all, every town is hooked together. There's no breaks in between towns from L.A. all the way out here. So we are a suburb of L.A. and also San Bernardino. I don't know if you heard of that city and county. San Bernardino County is one of the largest counties in the country.
Well, those were some great humble beginnings 42 years ago. And there's nothing like family business and having all the legacy about thinking of dad. And then, of course, to get the top shop in the nation from MotorAge in 2014, how's that changed your business?
It's been a lot of recognition. It's a lot of pride. It's helped our service riders, our technicians, and just the overall atmosphere here at Georgia Shell is just, it's really just helped us to realize the hard work that we're putting forth does pay off and get rewarded sometimes.
Excellent. So what is one thing in your mind that makes a great shop?
One thing right now that makes a great shop, in my opinion, is just the relationships. That's where it all starts. And again, you're going to hear me reference back to my father so many times through this here also. My dad just taught that from a very young age, is just the relationships with the employees. You care about your employees. You treat them like family. You care about their families. If an employee needs a day off to go to watch their kids get an award at school, there's no question you're going to see your kid. And that kind of transfers over to the relationship with the customers. When the customers come in, you care about the customers the same way. It's easier when the employees feel cared for to care for the customers and just the families. So that's the one thing that makes us a great shop, is just our relationship that we have, not only with our employees, but that they transfer over to the customers. And I think that makes the customers feel so welcome.
Thanks for singling that out. What's one thing right now that has you fired up?
One thing right now, and I've been thinking about this for a couple months now, is what are we going to do in 2015? And it really has to do with building. And that can be opened up into so many areas. It's building my knowledge as a business owner. It's building a succession plan that I'm working through with ATI right now to what happens when I'm gone here. Building the building bigger, we're just flat out out of room. We can't grow anymore. Building our sales office, building our staff, so when we have the bigger building, we have somewhere to put everyone. So,
what is one habit that you wish you had?
Reading. That's a simple answer for me, reading. I'm not a reader. I usually will fall asleep after about 30 minutes of reading, and it's hard to get through a book that way. So,
hey, listen, a half a dozen pages a day, what's wrong with that? So what wakes you up from a dead sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Really having to go to the bathroom anymore. You want an honest answer there, don't you, Carm?
Thank you, I do. Thank you for that.
You know, and I, you know, was thinking about this. It's really not much anymore. I used to, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, wake up at 2 in the morning and have a pad of paper by my bed, and I'd make notes on everything I was remembering, what was supposed to be done, who was supposed to be doing what, customers, employees. Anymore, the staff is built here where they all take care of it. They all know their job. And when I wake up at 2 in the morning, I don't have to worry about, did this customer get taken care of? Did that employee do that? It's kind of on cruise control and a good feeling right now.
Excellent. Thanks for the answer. What is your biggest strength as an entrepreneur?
Probably getting the most out of people. Just being able to find each employee's strengths and their weaknesses and build on the strengths. I've heard a couple speakers. ATI will do a personality profile test, which tells you what that is. And then I heard Mark Eaton speak a couple years ago about how, I don't know if you're familiar with him as a basketball player, how he was trying to do everything on the court. He finally settled into rebounding, and he led the league in rebounding. So really anymore, I just try to get the most out of the people's strengths, see what they're good at. And as you can see with Maria, we know what she's good at, and she just makes me look great and does a fantastic job. So really.
Yeah, I know. We have to thank Maria for the technical support and background help for our Skype call, because it worked out. What's your biggest weakness as an entrepreneur?
Staying focused. I don't know if I have adult ADD or not, but I would guess I do. When I was a kid, they didn't have that. It was called you're not paying attention and get a smack in the head. But that's probably just staying focused on one project at a time.
So you woke up this morning, and I know you sleep like a baby, though, and you found out that you won an award for something What would it be?
Well, there's probably two, if I could have two. One would be Motor Age Magazine's Top Shop for the second year in a row, because no shop has ever done that, so that's my goal this year. And for ATI to win the Top Shop, I've been in the top 12 in the nation with ATI the last 2 years, so my goal this year is to be the Top Shop.
Those are some strong and lofty goals, especially knowing the kind of competition there's out there. So what's the best advice you've ever received?
Again, this probably comes from my father. I may have to edit some of it myself. Don't trust anybody in your diagnosing. Not to say you don't trust people. Back in the days with carburetors and points and all, you know, someone say they put points in a car and it's fine, and you spend 2 hours and find out the points are in wrong. So really just don't trust anybody's diagnosing. Just back up everything with the truth and facts, really.
So are you double-checking work from your people? Is that what you mean?
No, not anymore. This is hard. The best advice I received is really confirm the diagnosing, confirm the facts, just to make sure that the problem is taken care of. I do not double-check everything that runs through here. We have a quality department that before the cars go out, I have a guy that's checking floor mats and fingerprints and stuff like that. Sorry.
I understand. Good. Thanks very much. Anything holding you back right now?
No, not really. I'm doing exactly what I want. I'm on set to retire at 55 like I had planned. I'm 50 now, so age is slowing me down a little bit. I'm not sure what I want to do in life, to be honest. I don't want to retire completely. So.
Yes, but wait. Well, wait a minute. 55 is the new 45. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. Again, my father worked here to the age of 62, retired, and within 6 months he passed away. So I don't want to have that happen to me where I work my whole life and don't enjoy the things that I work for.
Well, those are lofty goals, and I totally respect where you're going with that. And obviously you have some great plans in place now. Take us to a moment in time, an incredible aha moment you had, and tell us the story.
How much time do you have?
Go. Tell me.
The aha moment had to be 2005. My father had passed away, been dead for 10 years now. I'd been running the place struggling. I was a great mechanic, terrible businessman. I had a technician that came to me and said, Doug, you have to pay me more money or I have to leave. And I said, Mike, I can't have you leave. I need this. And he said, well, here's a workshop on a Sunday for Automotive Training Institute. It tells us how to get more cars. I hesitantly went to that workshop, told Mike I was going to leave at noon because I knew everything at that point. Went there and listened to Ken Brookings in the workshop, and that really had to be my aha moment. I didn't need more cars. I just needed to learn how to service and take care of the cars that I had at the time. That was really the life changer right then in 2005 and 6.
So that was it, that you made the leap for education and knowledge. Somebody hit me upside the head. Is that what it is?
Pretty much. That was it. It was. I realized that this is a business, and you know, if Bill Gates can make $300 million billion a year, I should be able to make, you know, half a million.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did it in his garage, and you're doing it in yours. Hey, let's go under the hood. True differentiation brings value to the customer. So what is your differentiation?
No hassle. After 2005 and 6, I was asked to rebuild my business model, and what did I want? And I tried the cheap guy on the street for a while, and if you do a free oil change, someone will come along and pay someone to change your oil. So I changed my business model to a no-hassle model. There were dealerships all around me. I took my car in there to get the oil changed and just observed what they were doing, came back and did it better. You know, we have the shuttle. You don't wait an hour for a shuttle and go to 10 places. We have loaner cars that we give you when you drop your car off, not later on that day or the next day. What makes us different is just we have the no-hassle approach. from the time you make the appointment, it's yes, bring it in, to drop it off. We have two, three, sometimes four service riders in there that are cross-trained that get you in and out of here. We take you to work. We give you a car. Basically, and you'll hear this throughout this too, is just treat people like you want to be treated. When you have an appointment, you go somewhere and you're not in there for an hour, you're frustrated. So again, what makes us different, that brings a value, is just it's the no hassle approach. Whatever you want, do it.
I've read a lot about it. It's called the Platinum Rule. Treat people like you want to be treated.
Yes.
Okay. Any special amenities, interactive media, digital interactive TV running features that make your customer experience unique? And please cover your valet entrance I read about.
We're not a huge shop here. We're three bays. We have a 100-foot square foot waiting room. So it's not like you can take a nap in there. So we do not have a lot of people waiting for their cars here. We have the loaner cars and the valet, and again, it's kind of a tight lot. It's a gas station, so we have the valet drop off where they pull up a car. I have a couple porters that are waiting, and they immediately pull the car off to the side, get the information for the service riders. Take care of the paperwork, get signatures, and then they're pulling up the shuttle or the loaner car right in front of the doors to where the valet is. Just makes it easy for the customers.
So the perception is all in the eye of the customer. What do they think about your valet service?
They're thrilled. When they come to pick up their car, we do the same thing. They pull the loaner car right up in front. We take it. We pull their car around. It's just the no hassle. It's making it easy for the customer to get the work done here. And they love it. I mean, they love the service. They love being treated like a king or queen.
Great. Thank you for that. What percent do you buy via an online connection from your primary supplier?
I'm going to say 70 to 80%. We have two suppliers that we buy online from. So in the 70 to 80% range.
You have a lot of responsibility when you purchase parts for your customers. So what makes you choose those parts?
Probably number one is quality. Comebacks kill everybody, the customer and us. Convenience, having the part at our doorstep when we need it, and kind of the same thing that we give our customers is no hassle. When we're ordering parts and we're trying to run cars in and out here, I don't want to hassle on where the part is, warranty or anything like that.
And out of those, what makes you choose your number one call?
Out of those, it has to be service and delivery. We were with one part supplier for many, many years, and their delivery, they were just up the street, really sunk to a low, and I had to switch to a place that would get it here. On average, 8 to 9 minutes is parts delivered. Being a small shop, three bays, I can't have a car in a rack for an hour waiting for parts.
8 or 9 minutes is like beaming the part over.
They're very quick. They're efficient. They have a row of, they're about 1.2 miles away. They have a row of delivery drivers that all they do is deliver. And so we'll put in an order, they'll pull it. They have a driver sitting outside the door. They put it in the car. The driver doesn't even get out of the car.
Well, you're obviously a priority. And can you imagine drones someday? How much quicker than 8 or 9 minutes can the drone get you the part?
Yeah, it's interesting. Where are we going to be in 10 years?
I know. I'd love to ask you that question later. So regarding suppliers, do marketing and training offered by your supplier play into which supplier you choose?
Not primarily, no. I mean, the supplier's job is to get me the parts in a reasonable amount of time, have them be right, warranty them. So, no, the training does not play into it directly. Do I like the training that some of them offer? Absolutely, and we take advantage of that.
Is there anything you feel that your primary supplier could do to improve your business relationship?
Not right now. We are very pleased with them. I'm a very upfront person before I start doing business with any suppliers. I meet with them. I let them see how my business runs, what I expect, what they will expect to get out of me every month. And I make everything pretty clear up front. Not to say we don't have a hiccup here and there, but they know what I want and they deliver it.
Thank you. Hey, what is your preferred way of getting training to your techs?
Through technician classes put on by Delphi or Bosch or something like that. We're starting to get into the hybrid training more, diesel training more. That is the preferred method, is the classes. We do a lot of online training upstairs here in our training room too. I like to send the shop as a whole, all four of them. That way they're all on the same page when they come into work tomorrow. The two lead technicians will help the two apprentices to understand stuff.
Excellent. How important is the warranty program that your supplier or manufacturers offer you?
Very. It is probably, I believe, number one or two in my on my list, and it goes back to the no hassle. If a customer comes in and we give them a 2-year warranty and it's 2.5 years, I am not going to tell that customer no, and I expect my supplier and manufacturer to have the same attitude.
Thanks for going under the hood with us. Now, I know so many unique things about your business that I'm sure our listener base doesn't know and or understand. You have a phone room. Wow, tell us about that.
In a 20-group meeting in Baltimore 2 years ago, I met a guy from Plymouth Auto, and he was doing this not quite to the degree we are now, and it just sounded like a great idea. We spend so much money sending out $60,000 pieces of direct mailing. I thought, are we capturing this? So what the phone room actually is, it's upstairs on top of the gas station. I have a person that's hired for that. She spends about 30 hours a week in this phone room doing our 2-day thank you calls. After a customer comes in, we'll do a 2-day thank you call. We do a 2-week reminder call on recommended service. We'll do a 3-month reminder on oil change, or 3 to 5 months, depending what it needs. We have a lost customer call where if you haven't been here for a year, we'll call you and just ask you why, if it's something we did and if it's something we can fix. And the most unique one that the customers appreciate the most is we offer anywhere from a 2-year warranty to a lifetime on some repairs. When you're coming up on a 2-year warranty, about month 20, we will call you and let you know that your car is almost coming out of warranty before it expires, and have you come in and just inspect it to make sure that it's taken care of under warranty. There's no hassle after warranty or anything like that. So
you mean, Doug, that if you did a water pump for someone and you gave them a 2-year warranty, and then you would call them just before it was over?
Correct, yes. Yeah.
And tell me, who makes the decision on who gets called? Is it you or the person in the phone room who has access to this data?
It's the person in the phone room. We print out lists of about 400 calls every Monday. We give her this list, and she makes the calls. The 2-day thank you calls are priority. We have them all prioritized. And so we pull up the list, Maria and I, decide who's going to be called.
Got it. I've heard you mention that this was a takeaway from one of your 20 groups. How important is your 20 group?
It's very important. I'm actually in two 20 groups. I'm in one on the West Coast. They're both through ATI. And that one's a little more basic. I'll send my service writers to that one. The one on the East Coast in Baltimore is called Peak Performers. And there's about 20 shops from across the country that are top shops. And it's good to go and see what these other shops are doing, what works, what doesn't work. That's what I get. That's where I get a lot of my ideas to push us to the next level, is from these 20 groups. They're very essential.
Thanks for listening to part one. Doug has much more to share. Listen to part two in episode 10. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.